Well, good morning, everyone. On my way in here, you can put the screen up. On my way in here, Melody asked me, do you get nervous? And honestly, I don't. I've talked so many times, I'm too old to be nervous. But one thing for sure is when I prepare a message like this, there is a weight. And, like if you're getting ready to do some weightlifting or something like that, there is a preparation, that's for sure, a mental preparation. And one of the lessons I've learned is that it's a weighty thing to try to present God's word. And so maybe my first point of the day will be how much I appreciate and how much we should appreciate the work of our pastors. I think of Pastor Don for over 40 years. He's been preaching. I don't know if you know, Pastor Don is a rock star down in Columbia because he actually is teaching pastors. He's teaching clergy down there to present the word. And so every time if he's not here, he's down in Columbia preaching the word. And so that diligent preaching of the word for 40 years. And then Pastor Jason has now been here for over 8 years, believe it or not. It's hard to believe it's been 8 years. But he's been here for 8 years now. And so I hope you will take a moment as you're able to thank Pastor Don for his years of service. And when Pastor Jason gets back, to thank him as well. Because week after week after week, it's one thing to do this once a year like I do, but to do it week after week after week, it is a weighty thing. And so we should really, really appreciate that. So please join me as I pray. Father, I do lift up Pastor Don and Pastor Jason and thank you for the presentations that they have given over the years to be able to present your message, to be able to speak your word. Lord, I also thank you for your word to begin with. Thank you that you have given us this Bible to learn from and to live by. I thank you that you have given us great deep things in this Bible that it seems like it's endless in trying to study the Bible. Everything is brand new every time you open it up. And so thank you, Lord, for the Bible. And I also thank you for the simple message that you present, the simple gospel message. And as I talk about that simple message today, I pray, Father, that we would all hear your words and not mine, that you would just prepare our hearts for the gospel presentation and just to understand what that simple message is. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. On a Wednesday morning in Marshall, Michigan, I was doing some errands. This is in the mid-1980s. I'm not sure which year it was. But it was a nice day, and I was running some errands in downtown Marshall. I know I had my mail in my hand walking from the post office. And I'm walking down the street, and all of a sudden, I had this compelling idea that there was this little old lady walking toward me. This little old lady walking toward me. Actually, she was probably 77, so she wasn't so old after all, because I'm 77. This little old lady walking toward me, and God just, I didn't hear a voice, but God just was compelling me to talk to her. And so I simply said, hello, and she stopped. And she said, well, hello. And I was talking to her, and we struck up a conversation. We happened to be standing in front of a little coffee shop, and I said, you know, I'd enjoy talking. I don't have a lot of time, but I have time for a cup of coffee if you want a cup of coffee. So we went into the coffee shop, and we had a cup of, actually, she had a cup of tea, I had a cup of coffee, and we were sitting there. And so I said to her, do you know for sure whether you're going to heaven or not? And she looked at me and she said, well, nobody can know that for sure. She said, on the balance, you know, I'm a pretty good person, I think. I've done more good than bad. She actually said that. And so I said, you know, I believe you can really know whether or not you're going to heaven or not. And I'd like to show that to you. I don't have time right now, but I'd like to get together with you and share that with you. And she said, I'd love that. She was very welcoming to that. And so I said, how about tomorrow morning? And so she said, absolutely. She lived in a nursing home. And I said, I'll bring a friend along with me. And so I grabbed fellow elder Pete Laup, and he and I, on Thursday morning, showed up at this nursing home where she lived, and we talked to her in the living area of this nursing home. And so I was sitting there, and I said, so, you don't know for sure whether you're going to heaven? And she said, no, I don't think anyone can know that. And I said, so, you understand, don't you, that we are all sinners, that you're a sinner as well. And she said, well, absolutely. Everybody lies or steals or does something bad. And I said, you realize that we are sinning against God. When you sin like that, you're actually sinning against God. And if there's justice in this universe, there has to be a penalty for that sin. And so I showed her in the Bible. I opened the Bible and I showed her the verses that are actually in your bulletin. I showed her the verses and I said that we are all sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then I showed her the next verse. I showed her the penalty for those sins. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I said, so now how, you know, if that's true, what's the way out? And I take her to the next verse, and I'm actually going through the Bible, and I show her the next verse. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, and I was 30 years old before I found this out, and what I learned was Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. It's like having somebody go down and pay your taxes for you. You go down and pay your taxes, and the guy says you're already paid. Someone else paid it for you. And it's just like that. Christ died for you. And she said, well, that's amazing. That's a great story. I guess I've heard that story, but I never really understood it. And so I said, the next verse is the one that will give you the assurance. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I like newer versions of the Bible will say will be saved instead. It means the same thing, but there's something about that word shall that I like. And so that's in the King James or the New King James, the older versions. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she said, I understand that. And so Pete and I said, well, you know, we can pray with you right now and you can acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And she said, I'd love to do that. And she did. And we sat there and we prayed with her. And at that time, and, you know, considering the circumstances of how we met in the first place, this compelling feeling from God, it wasn't a feeling, it was a sense. And so I was quite sure that she actually, when we prayed with her, she actually acknowledged Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now, that's a pretty good story so far, but let me tell you the rest of the story. That was on Thursday morning. On Saturday morning, I opened up the newspaper, and there in the obituaries was Mrs. Parker's name. She died that day. You know, I have nothing nothing to say other than God did that. A truly amazing thing. And I also have to say, it wasn't me who saved Mrs. Parker. That was all God. God was the one who had me stop and talk to her. God was the one who gave us the verses. God was the one who actually, that she prayed to. God was the one who actually entered into her spirit and gave her the Holy Spirit at that moment, that she too can have eternal life even though she was about to die that day. For some reason, God chose me to have that message for her. And I'm thankful for that, because what it did for me was it gave me assurance that there is a God. I know that there is a God. You'll never talk me out of that one. And I've never had it happen before or since that I was so compelled to talk to somebody walking down the street. So that is just a story of how I have been able to use these verses that I'm going to be talking about. I have to say that even though it wasn't my, I didn't save her, God did prepare me. I had already learned that the question that we have before us, do you know for sure whether or not you're going to heaven? That question is a really good icebreaker if you want to share the gospel with somebody. Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? I also had the opportunity to learn a group of verses, and these are the verses we're talking about today, a group of verses from the book of Romans that are commonly called the Romans Road. You will see slightly different versions of the Romans Road, slightly different verses depending on what version you read. But with Mrs. Parker, I shared the version that I knew, and it's four simple verses that I had already memorized them. But when I first was a Christian, I learned this is a concise way of sharing the gospel. And when I first became a Christian, I didn't have them memorized. I didn't know much about the Bible at all. I didn't know the order of the books of the Bible or anything like that. And so I learned about the Romans Road very soon after becoming a Christian. And though I didn't have memorized, what I did, if I had the opportunity to share the gospel, I wanted to be able to find these verses. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you might do the same thing that I did, or the verses are in the bulletin, and you can take them home and do this later. But the first verse is Romans 3:23. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So in order to find that verse, what I did, I took my Bible, and actually I had, there was a pastor who was giving kind of the same message that I'm giving today, and he said, take your Bible and on the inside cover, what I want you to do is write Romans 3:23. So you open your book and that tells you where to start, Romans 3:23. Then you turn to Romans 3:23 and you share, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is basic stuff. Like Mrs. Parker said, everybody has sinned, everybody has lied or stolen or coveted or lusted or whatever. We all have sinned. You know that, and I know that. Everybody has sinned. But the truth is, we are sinning not against just people. We are sinning against God himself. We're sinning against God himself. And people actually understand that. If they're going to be saved, if God is working on their hearts, people will understand that, yes, I am sinning, but I'm also sinning against God. You can try as hard as you want. You're never going to get to the glory of God. You might as well try to jump across the Grand Canyon. You try to jump across the Grand Canyon and you ain't going to make it. You're going to fall way short. But the glory of God is infinitely farther than the other side of the Grand Canyon. And we always will fall short of the glory of God. Okay, so that's pretty basic stuff. We're all sinners. So what I did then is, and this was according to the instructions that I had at the time, Right next to verse 23, right next to Romans 3:23, I put a little arrow, and I write 6:23, 6, and then a colon, and 23, because what that does is it points to the next verse. Okay? Then I turn to page, actually, it's only one page away from me, Romans 6:23. I go to Romans 6:23, and I read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, in God's economy, there must be justice in this universe. God is the creator, master, and creator of this universe. And there must be justice. And if there's justice, then when we sin against that God, when we sin against God, the master and creator of this universe, there must be a penalty. And this verse tells us what that penalty is. The penalty is death. The penalty is eternal separation from God, eternal condemnation, eternal death. When we lie, when we steal, when we covet, when we lust, death is what we deserve as the penalty because we are sinning against the God of this universe. And this verse tells us that. The wages of sin is death. But this verse also comes with a promise. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how can this be? How can it be then that if I'm a sinner and that there's a penalty for those sins and the penalty is death, how can it be that I can get out of that? What's the way out? So he says there's a gift in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how does that work? Well, once again, next to verse 6:23, I put a little arrow, and I write the down right next to that little arrow, 5:8, 5, and then a colon, and 8. And that points me then to the next verse. By the way, this is the same Bible I had when I was talking to Mrs. Parker. So this was already there when I was talking to Mrs. Parker. So this little arrow with the number 5:8 right next to it, which is the next stop on the Romans road. So starting with the mark on the inside cover, Romans 3:23, it points to Romans 3:23, and then these little arrows and the numbers point me on the way down the Romans road. It's very simple. But before we go to the next stop of Romans 5:8, before we get to the next stop, I'm going to take a little detour. Paul, of course, was the author of Romans, and I want to look at another passage written by the same author, Paul. So before we go on to that verse, I want to look at the passage that is in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians, Paul introduces the chapter. He introduces chapter 2 with this. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked." You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You see how this parallels what he says in Romans 3:23 and 6:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. All have sinned, and the penalty is death. And here in Ephesians, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So it captures the meaning of those first two verses of the Romans road. All have sinned, and the penalty is death. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. These are really parallel passages. He continues in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, by saying, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We are by nature children of wrath, dead in our trespasses and sins. But in Ephesians 2:5, what are the next two words? Anybody know? What are they?
But God.
Louder.
But God.
But God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And in verse 5, but God. This is still Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive, and he made us alive with him in Christ Jesus. So as we go back to Romans, I want you to note that this is also a parallel passage, that this passage is parallel. Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the next verse on the Romans road, Romans 5:8, guess what the next two words are? But God. That's the way out. God provides the way out. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You might be willing to sacrifice something for a good person. I would be willing to sacrifice something for Ron Davis, you know. I might even be willing to die for him. But in the very act of sinning, the most vile sins, of course, any sin is vile to God. In the very act of sinning, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what this verse tells us, Romans 5:8. I am a sinner. I believe in justice in this universe, and I deserve eternal condemnation for my sins. I have nothing to offer to God that would satisfy that justice. I have nothing I can do to earn his favor. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty, just like I told Mrs. Parker. He paid the penalty. It was like someone going to pay your taxes. You go and they're paid. He paid the penalty for us. So is that all there is? Are we at the end of the Romans road? Not quite. We're not quite there. You can do all those, everything in those three verses. You can admit that we are all sinners. You can recognize that. You can recognize that there's a penalty for those sins. You can acknowledge that. You can even acknowledge the historical fact that Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for those sins. You can do all that, but is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you recognized that God raised him from the dead, and Jesus overcame death itself, and is alive, and is the Lord of your life? Have you confessed with your mouth? Have you believed in your heart? Have you called on the name of the Lord? So, next to Romans 5:8 in my Bible, put a little arrow, and I mark 10:13. That's the next verse I go to in the Romans road. Verse 10:13, Romans 10:13. And if you look at that verse, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So does this mean that all I have to do is say the name Jesus and I'm saved? May it never be, as Paul would say. May it never be. Paul explains in verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter, he explains what it means. I don't have these verses memorized, by the way, but I've started including them in my version of the Romans Road because they're very pertinent. There are just a few verses back. You know, we're in Romans 10, 13, and these are in verses 9 and 10, just a few verses back. So they're easy to find when you're there. And so that's why I also put them in the bulletin. In verses 9 and 10, I believe that Paul indicates what it means to call on the name of the Lord. And so this, then, is perhaps the most important point that I can make today. If you don't learn anything else, these verses are the most important point that I could make. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. These two verses, if you underline the four words, mouth, confess, heart, believe, you'll see they all appear twice. This is known as a chiastic structure, where Paul simply takes those words, he makes them powerful, and he takes those words and then he reverses them. And so in verse 9, he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and then in verse 10, he says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so he reverses the pattern. This is to put emphasis on what he's saying. And in particular, what's in the middle of that is what is really the emphasis. And in the middle of that is, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And there in the middle of that is, you will be saved. Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead and made us alive with him. We were dead, but now we are alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we are alive. So what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? In verse 13, confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until I had those four verses memorized, I found the little arrow pointers in my Bible quite useful. There were four simple verses. And now I've added 9 and 10 as well. They're so simple, they really are easy to memorize, and I encourage you to memorize them. But it's also nice to have the Bible with you when you're witnessing, because if you can actually show them, you're not just memorizing, you're actually showing them in the Bible, these verses. And you might even want to include Romans 10, 9 and 10 in your own version of the Romans Road. So I've been able to use this a number of times. I've been able to use the Romans Road a number of times. And so I have another story that I want to share, and that is my mom. In 1990, my mom was in a nursing home down in Ohio, and I would go and visit her. I lived in Ann Arbor. I would drive down periodically and visit with her. And as I visited with her, I got to know some of the other people there as well. And there was this black lady, an elderly black lady, who was in a wheelchair, and she was suffering from diabetes, and she had already had one of her legs amputated as a result. So it was pretty obvious she wasn't going to be around very long. So we were sitting there one day, and I said to her, do you know for sure whether you're going to heaven or not? And she said, well, nobody can know that for sure. Same answer that Mrs. Parker gave me, actually. Nobody can know that for sure. And I said, well, you know, I'm sitting here, and I usually carried my Bible in. And so I got my Bible out, and I said, I'd like to share some verses with you from the Bible that can show you whether or not you're actually, you know you're going to heaven. And she said, well, my husband was a pastor for years, and so I know a lot about the Bible. And so I said, well, good. Well, let's look at this. And so I didn't even open my Bible since she said that. I said, so Romans 3:23. And I said, for all have sinned. And I didn't get any farther. She picked right up with me, and she finished the verse with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. She knew the rest of the verse. And then I said, yes, everybody's a sinner. But there's a penalty for those sins, isn't there? And I said, Romans 6:23, for the wages, I didn't have to go any further than that. She picked right up. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And she knew that verse. And so I said, but God. And I said, in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love. And she knew that verse. She went right along with me. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So then I said, well, there's one more verse. And I didn't give her a chance to catch up to me. I said it so fast that she couldn't catch up to me. I said, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the Lord might be saved. And she looked at me and she said, it's not might be saved, it shall be. Now she had this, she's a black southern woman, and so she had this accent, you know. It's not might be saved, it shall be saved. And I said, that's exactly right. I said, for who, and she said it along with me, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I looked at her and I said, do you know whether you're going to heaven or not? And she sat there for a few seconds, and she looked at me, and she got this big smile on her face, and she said, why, yes, I do. She knows. So these verses are, here she was a Christian, I believe, and so these verses provide assurance to the Christian. They provide hope to the non-Christian. And so that's why I wanted to present these verses, because there really is something in it for everybody. And so the question then becomes, so, do you know whether or not you're going to heaven? Do you know? That's for all of us to ponder. Do you know for sure whether you're going to heaven? If the answer to that is yes, then I encourage you to use these verses. This is actually a pretty simple way to spread the word, the gospel, is simply ask the question, do you know whether you're going to heaven? And here are the verses that go along with it. And so if the answer to that question is yes, I do know, then speak it. Share it with others. If the answer to that question, do you know whether you're going to heaven or not, is no, but you have acknowledged Christ as your Lord and Savior, then take a look, take a deep look at these verses. Read all of chapter 10. Read Ephesians. There are many passages that you could use to evangelize. Many passages you could use to spread the gospel. This passage just worked for me, and it might work for you as well. But if you have acknowledged Christ as your Savior and you don't know for sure whether you're going to heaven, look at these verses. They will provide assurance. On the other hand, if the answer to that question for you is no, and you haven't acknowledged Christ as your Savior, perhaps today is the day of salvation for you. Because this really is the answer. God provides the answer. This is the power of the Bible. And in this case, the power of the verses of the Romans Road. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.